tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail and torn.
Letting myself off the hook for things I've done. living in the moment, living my life, easy and breezy, with peace in my mind, with peace in my heart, with peace in my soul. Wherever I'm going, I'm already home.
Just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't
welcome to the Hope Show on this fine Saturday morning. Thank you all for joining me today. As always, it's an honor for me to have each of you listening in to hear my weekly messages. I also want to thank all the networks for broadcasting and rebroadcasting my messages all over the world each week. I hope everyone had a very, very happy Valentine's Day. And today's message is going to be about living beyond your labels, a journey to wholeness. How many of you in the listening audience was labeled as a child? Picked on and teased, ridiculed, belittled by your parents, teachers, peers, siblings, or anyone else for whatever reason. Some of the examples that I'm talking about are maybe you were awkward. Maybe you were a lanky child wearing funny glasses and high water pants. Maybe you were extremely clumsy as a child. Maybe you were overweight. Maybe you had a physical or mental handicap. Maybe your family was very poor and you didn't have all the things that your peers had. Maybe you were really into science. Or maybe you were stuck with a label of being a nerd. Or perhaps you stuttered when you spoke. Or you were horrible at math. You know, those are just some of the examples. I could go on and on. Perhaps you were the one in the schoolyard always getting beat up by the popular crowd. Maybe you were an outcast most of your life. You just never quite fit in anywhere. The list goes on and on. Maybe you can recall as a child, or even now, in adulthood, times when you've been labeled slow, stupid, ugly, fat, clumsy, geek, nerd, four eyes, or loser. Maybe you have lived your whole life believing what people have told you, such false statements as, "You can't do that. You're never going to amount to nothing. You're not smart enough to go to college and have a career. You're so broke you can't even pay attention. How are you supposed to achieve your goals when it costs so much to try that? You don't know anything. You have two left feet. You could trip over a flat surface." And so on and so on. Let me ask you something, folks. If you were labeled as a child, what does your life look like today? What does your life look like today? Are you still holding on to those hateful, negative, ugly comments said about you when you were little? How have the painful lies that you heard as a child affected your life today? Do they still have a hold over you? Do you still see yourself as fat or ugly, good for nothing, stupid, slow, or clumsy? Labeling people is just cruel and unjustified. And even more so when you're labeled as a child, and especially when it's a parent doing the labeling. It can leave lifelong psychological scars and devastation in a person's life. When children are very young, parents are their example. Children look up to their parents. Children try to mimic their parents in behavior and personality. Children are so very impressionable, and their little psyches so very fragile when they are so young. Children tend to put their parents on pedestals when they're very young, and what the parents say have a lasting imprint on their little brains. When very young, children take everything at face value. If something is said, then it must be true. And that is particularly true if it is said by their parents. They hold extreme stock in what their parents say and do. If the parents say they are worthless, then it must be true. If the parents say you're an idiot, then it must be true. If the parents say you will never amount to a hill of beans, then that also must be true. You can hear that kind of verbal abuse for so long that you quite literally start believing that about yourself. And before you know it, you're living up to that standard. Why do we label and put stereotypes on one another? Have you ever thought to ask yourself that question? Have you ever stopped to think about the labels given to you and to ask yourself realistically if they are true? People are continuously putting labels on one another without knowing the real damage that a label can have on someone. I believe that you have to be mentally and or emotionally troubled yourself to be a bully, to berate someone, and purposefully say damaging things to someone. A lot of people just assume, just because you are a loner or you're an outsider, that you must also be a loser, just from looking at you. These folks may have the greatest personality you've ever met, the loner or the outsider. They may have the greatest personality you have ever met, but you won't ever know that because you never gave them the chance to share that with you. So how are labels formed? It is my belief that labels are formed when you try to describe a person by his or her actions or behaviors. This is a very dangerous practice to get into. Some labels are misunderstood and very, very harsh. Labels are an offensive way to hurt another person. The Bible tells us in Matthew 7:1, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." Matthew 7:5 states, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly." And in Matthew 19, it reminds us to love thy neighbor as thyself. The Bible has many, many, many messages throughout the entire book about judging people and about how to treat people, talk to people, love people. Sometimes I wonder if the labeling will ever stop. Will people ever stop judging other people based upon appearance? Gothic people most generally always wear black, and they are oftentimes labeled as a freak. There seems to be a label for nearly everything these days. Gothic people are no different than anybody else. They simply like black. It's an expression to wear the color that they love. Nothing more. Here are some more labels. Black, white, honky, dropout, prostitute, jocks, the popular crowd, crazy people. Labeling people needs to stop ASAP, right now. Labels cover people's real identity. Labels are merely shells that contain assumptions. Labels are merely shells that contain assumptions. When we are taken in by, believe these assumptions about ourselves, we are caught in a web of deceit by someone else's opinion or belief of us. Did you catch that, folks? When we live our life, when we are taken in and we believe those other assumptions about ourselves, we are caught in a web of deceit, someone else's opinion or belief of us. When we live our life believing certain assumptions that other people make up about us, we have let those individuals steal our identity. We've let them steal our identity. It gets to a point where even you forget who you really are. People can be very narrow-minded at times. Labels are assumptions. Labels obscure the content of the real, true individual. But you may say, "Hey, I thought you said that labels are also descriptions. So what is wrong with that?" There isn't anything wrong with a description if it is used in a factual way, and only if it's used in a factual way. For example, you might say, Tom is tall, or Tom is a loser. Tall is descriptive and factual. There's nothing wrong with that. It's another way of describing someone who is, say, 6'5". But to use the word loser in the same sentence with Tom, that reduces his worth. It is wrong. It is a rotten assumption to label another human being. Labeling people in such a way is totally unfair to that person. People don't understand the real power of their words. Words can lift someone up, or they can completely tear someone down. We need to think before we speak. We need to stop diminishing and devaluing people. We should instead, folks, be using our words to encourage and inspire people. I also believe that people downgrade other people to make them feel better about themselves. But, you know, that to me, that's just sick. That is just sick. Sick in the head. That is so mean. That is so cruel. That is so unfair. To make someone else feel worse so you can feel better about yourself. Seriously? What is the point of doing that? What is the point of doing that? There isn't. Does it really make someone else feel better? Purposely making someone else feel worse? Which brings me to my next question. Why do people label one another? Here are a few of the reasons that I came up with. One, it's easier to label someone and requires less effort to assume something about someone instead of to find out the real facts. Number two, if we don't know the facts, sometimes we would rather go along with what everyone else is saying about that person so that we don't have to admit our own ignorance. Number three, it may be a hollow attempt to raise our own status level in front of our friends by ridiculing someone else. Number four, it may just be due to a bad habit of carelessness. No excuse whatsoever, but it could be a bad habit. Number five, we may have been brought up with prejudice in our home. Number six, it can be used in a way to try to control someone. Number seven, whether we agree with that label or not, it may be a way to stay in the in crowd amongst our peers. And number eight, we may simply just not be assertive enough to come to the defense of another person. That's kind of sad, but it's true. I'm not trying to justify any excuses for poor behavior toward another human being, but in my research for the week, this was some of the reasons most commonly used. People are obsessed with labels, categorizing people and highlighting their differences amongst each other. What we should be focusing on is the common values, not the differences. We should not ever let labels define who we are or who we become. First impressions are everything, though. When we first meet someone, we immediately start sizing them up, don't we? Immediately. Our first-hand experience with someone is quite limited, though. We start mentally taking notes about that other person. We start to process a mental description of that other person. Labels in our mind is a shortcut that we create when we don't have enough time to fully get to know someone. Let me say that again. Labels in our mind are a shortcut that we create when on our first impression of someone, the first meeting with that someone, we don't have enough time to fully get to know them. These assumptions are not always based on facts, and in fact, probably tend to be more on the assumptuous side than factual. Most of the time, probably. Once someone labels you, though, folks, it is very hard to unlabel yourself. And this brings me yet to another question. Why would you accept the label given to you? Why would you accept the label given to you? Fellow brothers and sisters, you are better than that. You have worth. Our Heavenly Father created you before you were even in the womb. He knew exactly how you were going to be, how you were going to look. He had a purpose for you. He has a plan for your life. And then when you're born, some thoughtless, callous person steals your identity and gives you a label. And then you're stuck with that for the rest of your life. But only you can accept that label given to you. Only you can change that label. Don't think you're stuck with it for the rest of your life. You could be if you choose that. But you can also choose not to let that define you, not to pay attention to those labels, and be the best you that you can be. Folks, you are better than that. You really are. If you randomly lined up 1,000 people, not one of you are alike. Each one of us is unique, just like the snowflakes. And God made us that way. He knew us and created us. He has a plan for each of us and a very specific purpose, as I just said. Are you living up to His purpose for you? Or are you allowing other people's labels to define who you are? Are you living for your Creator? Are you living for yourself? Or are you living for other people? If you're listening to other people to feel validated, to feel important, to feel worthy, to fit in, folks, you better stop and think again. Now is the time to put the brakes on that. Stop and think again. People will let you down. God will not. Labels change everything. It changes our perception. The long-term consequences of labeling people in a negative way is very profound. Studies have shown that people perform poorly in situations where they have been labeled or stereotyped. Even after a person leaves a situation where they were affected by negative labeling, the effects of coping with that situation remain. Some people become aggressive. Some people become very withdrawn. Some people can't even form healthy relationships. Some people find it very hard to make or meet goals. Sometimes people find it hard to complete anything they start in life. Most of these individuals will have low self-esteem. They will lack confidence in themselves and self-respect. The lingering effects of careless words can hurt people in a very, very real way, leaving them at a disadvantage, leaving them as an easy target for more of the same abuse. Some people will carry this baggage with them throughout their entire lives. This baggage gets very heavy and burdensome. It can lead to depression and other health problems. And God forbid, what if you were raped? What if you had to listen to people tell you what a dirty, white, or black trash you are? That you must have deserved it. You must have done something to instigate the act. Or, oh, here's one for you. You must have liked it. What about labeling the mentally ill? Are they not human beings with feelings of their own, just as we are? Depending on the severity of the handicap, folks, they can still hear you. They aren't dumb. They can still think for themselves. They can still process their environment, and they feel just like you and I. How would you feel if you were in their shoes and you had to live every day of your life, day after day like this, listening to people talk about you as if you weren't even there, and all the while you were right there hearing their every word? I'm going to go ahead and take a short break. I hope all of you will still be joining me after the break, and I hope you enjoy the music.
I've been doing all that I can to hold it all together, piece by piece. I've been feeling like a failure, trying to be perfect than I could ever be. It's just lonely. Be broken, I can be needed, Lord, I need.
another fight. It always feels like an uphill climb. Another step, another mile. The story of your life. It's harder than you ever thought, and it costs you everything you got. When you're back against the wall, and you feel like giving up. This is only a mountain. Second wind, it's not as high as you think it is. Don't give up, don't you quit. You gotta climb if you wanna win, yeah. And I know it looks big, and I know you feel small, but just a little bit of faith can change it all, change it all. This is only a mountain.
Welcome back, everyone. It's such a pleasure and an honor to have all of you with me today. I would like to remind everyone, if you are just tuning in, that after my show has aired each week, that it is always uploaded to my podcast page, generally within a few hours, on www.shazizradio.com. Just click on Hope for Beverly and then find the date of the pod you wish to listen to and enjoy. As always, I would like to encourage you to invite your friends to join me on Saturdays. And if that's not possible, but you think they would enjoy hearing my message, then by all means, send them a link. Today's message is Living Beyond Your Labels, A Journey to Wholeness. How many of you in the listening audience were labeled as a child? Picked on and teased, ridiculed, belittled by your parents, teachers, peers, siblings. It hurt, didn't it? And chances are it left a lasting impression on the way you now view yourself. Children and adults alike can sometimes be very cruel and thoughtless when they speak to other people. Labels tell us virtually nothing about the individual who is being labeled. Labels are words used to describe someone, generally based on something that our first impressions tell us about someone when we first meet them. But they are not necessarily facts, because oftentimes first meetings don't last long enough for any of us to make an honest opinion of anyone. These labels are unfair to the person being labeled and can have lasting effects that can cause years and years of damage. Have any of you done something in your past that you're not proud of? Maybe you were an alcoholic and now you're a recovering alcoholic. Perhaps you were a drug addict, and now you've gone through rehab and you have been successfully clean for many years. Perhaps you spent time in jail. And now, years and years later, you're still carrying these labels with you. People just won't seem to let the past stay where it should be, in the past. They just won't give you a break. I'm sure that all of you have been in similar situations in your life. Maybe you have not experienced the exact same things that I just mentioned, but something else from the past that keeps you from moving forward. Labels limit us. Don't you agree? I found a quote that I'd like to share with all of you. This quote is by Alan Watts. He says, "Waking up to who you are requires letting go of who you imagine yourself to be." Let me say that again. Waking up to who you are requires letting go of who you imagine yourself to be. We live in a society of labels, don't we, folks? Everyone will try to label you, and then we will even try to label ourselves. Eventually, we each begin to subconsciously believe those labels, and we start to feel as though to be whole, to be someone in this world, we have to appease our own ego and the voices around us by trying to fit in. Over time, it becomes the foundation of our lives. It takes on a life of its own identity, if you will. We then start to believe, "I am this person," or "I really am not that person." Perhaps the person I thought I was in the beginning. "I can't do this." When this happens, our entire persona and sense of reality is sculpted by these labels. In our homes and in elementary school, we are quickly classified and reinforced with certain labels, such as, "We are smart," "We are stupid," "We're a good reader," "We're a bad reader," "We're too hyper," "We're too lazy," "We're too shy," "We're athletic," "We're uncoordinated and clumsy," "We're gifted," "We're nerdy." The list goes on and on. We are so impressionable at such an early age, so we tend to believe these things about themselves, or ourselves, and truly take them to heart. These labels may carry through high school. Then, fast forward to present day. Whether you buy into these labels from your childhood or not, I can almost guarantee you that you still believe in the idea of labels. Whether it is being intellectual, physical, emotional, spiritual, or political, just to name a few, you will find yourself labeling everything, including yourself. For most of us, the labels given to us in childhood or teenage years have stuck with us and become a more concrete and self-actualized reflection of our younger years. At a very young age and through the years of our life, continuing into adulthood years, we spend much of our time trying to figure out exactly who we are in relation to this world. We come to rely on such roles and labels to define ourselves. But the problem with that, folks, is that it limits our fullest potential. This can be very self-destructive behavior. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. You might say, or someone else might say, about you, "I am," or "he or she is," an alcoholic. No, you are not. No, you're not. You are a powerful human being who possesses both limitless potential and of vulnerability to self-abuse of alcohol consumption. Let me repeat that back so you can get this, folks. Some people might say about themselves or about someone else, I am, or he/she, is an alcoholic. Now let me turn this around, folks. Think about this. No, you are not an alcoholic. You are not defined by being an alcoholic. You are a powerful human being who possesses both, key, limitless potential, and a vulnerability to self-abuse of alcohol consumption. See how that works, folks? You do have worth. You do have value. You do have an identity. And that label, that identity, is not an alcoholic. You are judged and deemed guilty because of the deed. Thus, that is where you become labeled as an alcoholic. Are all of you with me so far? Another example is this. Someone might say, I am depressed. I am depressed. Yes, perhaps you are. But if the depression isn't caused, now listen closely, folks. If the depression isn't caused by some chemical imbalance in your brain, then it might just be, perhaps, that you are driven by some situational circumstance, such as financial pressures, or grief, or just being generally overwhelmed. Then, is that still classified as depression? Or is it a feeling driven by something else, such as fear, loss, feelings, or actually being or feeling as if your life is out of control? No matter which of these it might be, you are still, listen carefully, folks, you are still a powerful human being. A powerful human being who possesses limitless potential. You are still a powerful human being who possesses limitless potential and who is being consumed by what you perceive as an obstacle rather than an opportunity. Think about that for a bit. That's pretty deep. Granted, the opportunity is not always obvious, perhaps. You really have to search for it sometimes. But it is most oftentimes always there, folks. When you say, I'm depressed, are you truly depressed by a chemical imbalance in your brain? Or are you depressed because you see things as an obstacle rather than an opportunity? Maybe you're just discouraged or overwhelmed. Maybe you're just fearful about something. Or maybe you have suffered a loss or you're feeling some grief. Maybe you're struggling financially. Those are obstacles. That's not a chemical imbalance. But even through those obstacles, there are opportunities, even though they may not often be, obvious right there in front of your face. If you turn that negative into a positive, there are options. There are opportunities. When you decide to let go of these labels that have been holding on to you, have been holding you as a prisoner in your own body, you will no longer be a slave to yourself. There is mystery magic and potential in every single one of us out there in this entire huge world. We just have to release all that baggage to reach our fullest potential. Folks, I'm not here to say that it's going to be easy to overcome labels. I promise you, in fact, that it probably will not be. That you will probably have setbacks, disappointments, down days when you feel as if you aren't making any progress and you start to wonder why you're doing this. Why are you making an attempt to do better, to be better? I'm going to tell you, or I'm not going to tell you, that it's all going to be smooth sailing. That day you finally make the decision to set yourself free. As with any habit, folks, it's hard. It's hard to break years and years of pattern, belief, behavior, action. But I can guarantee you that if you don't give up, it's worth achieving that goal. If you believe in yourself, if you know deep down those labels aren't you, don't give up, folks. It's worth achieving. Have you ever stopped to wonder why labels are so limiting to us? People oftentimes try to simplify things by defining and categorizing who we are, what we do, and what surrounds us. We seem to find a need to justify our very being by sticking a label on our forehead or on the head of someone else so that we can declare to the world to which box we or they fit in. How ridiculous is that, folks? How seriously ridiculous is that? As I said before, each and every single one of us is as unique as the snowflakes in the sky. Our Heavenly Father created us like that. That in itself should give us encouragement, should give us hope, should give us joy. It's a good thing we're not all alike. It's a good thing that we're all unique. But instead of giving us purpose, a sense of worth or self-value, all these labels do is create attention and push judgment upon us or other people. We brand ourselves and others with unfair, unjustified, negative defining words. People who are labeled spend a great deal of time internalizing these negative labels, verbalizing them to themselves over and over again, playing it like a stuck record in their head. Maybe even openly admitting our flaws to someone else as if to confirm our shortcomings, thinking that if we voice those shortcomings, that somehow we can clear it up and move on. But usually that doesn't work, and it usually has the reverse effect. It generally will make the situation much worse. Then that puts other people in a situation where they feel awkward, and they have to they feel like they're put in a position that they have to give you self or false flattery, you know, to make up for that statement that you just said. What a mess. What a tangled web. Labels are inflexible and rigid. Labels can be very painful to live with. Labels can be a great source of annoyance and frustration in our lives as we try to spend our time living up to them or living them down. We waste a lot of time, folks, in our life living up to or living down to a label. Sometimes you desperately want change for yourself, and no one is willing to take you seriously. Have you ever been there and done that before? I want to do a little exercise with you, but before I do that, I'm going to go to a quick break. So while I'm on break, please grab a pen and a paper. And while you're getting that, I'm going to go ahead and play these songs, and then we'll return and do this quick little exercise.
You hear me when I call, you are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? Crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. Always by my side. My strength is in your name. For you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory. Whom shall
can't separate. Even if I ran away, your love never fails. Mistakes, but you have new mercy for me every day. Your love never fails. Sing it, you stay.
My wonderful listeners, I'm so happy to have you with me today. It's always an honor to spend this time with you each Saturday. I hope all of you have had a blessed week. And if it's been a rough week, then I'm praying that this coming week will be better for you. In about 30 minutes, give or take a few minutes, I will be opening up the call lines for anyone who would like to join me on the show. I will let you know when it gets closer to that time, when it'll be time for you to call in. I would love to hear your life experiences, or if you could just shed some light, a ray of hope, maybe some advice for someone who may be going through a tough time in their life due to being unjustly labeled. Today I have been talking about labeling people and the effects of living with a label. Today's show is called Living Beyond Your Labels, A Journey to Wholeness. How many of you were labeled as a child, as a teenager, as an adult? When I was in elementary school, I was labeled as fat, shy, withdrawn, unfriendly. Even my name was ridiculed. To the bullies in school, I was known as the Beaver. And that may sound funny, but I assure you as a child, that was not funny. But I was known as the Beaver because of my name being Beverly. To this day, I hate the word Beaver. Shaziz accidentally, unbeknownst to him, called me that one time, just playing around, not even meaning me no harm, and not even knowing I had a history with that word. But needless to say, he has not ever once called me that again. I just became unglued. Of course, I explained the situation and all was well. I wasn't like most of the children. I worked on the farm mostly, so I had practically no social life. I stayed the same size around my waist for several years, so as long as my clothes still fit, Mom and Dad couldn't justify buying more clothes each new school year. The problem with that was that I was growing taller, but my pants kept getting shorter and shorter. So, anyway, excuse me a minute, I just lost my train of thought. I was trying to get Shaziz's attention there for a moment. So anyway, let me get back on track there for a minute. Anyway, as a child, I was I stayed the same length around the waist, but I kept growing taller and taller, and so my pants kept getting shorter and shorter. It wasn't until last year that I could wear even capri pants, which are three-quarter length pants. They're meant to be that way. But anyway, I just saw them as high waters. When I buy jeans for myself, I always get the tall, straight, skinny-cut leg so that they will cover my ankles and then some. Then, with being molested as a young girl, I grew up quick and I was withdrawn. I didn't have a lot in common with the children of my own age, and I didn't have a lot of friends. I was painfully shy as a youngster, though you probably couldn't tell it now. But by the time I was in sixth grade, I already weighed 135 pounds. I had low self-esteem, and I decided that I was going to do something about that. By the time I turned a freshman, I was 113 pounds, and when I married at the age of 18, I was about 5'8", and I weighed 118 pounds. So yes, I know about labels, folks. And I know their lasting effects. Because to this day, I am very conscious of my weight. You know, and I don't weigh a lot now. I weigh more than I want to. But the point of the matter is, that stuck with me all through life. And even to this day, if I, you know, put on a couple of pounds here or there, you know, to me that's like, oh my gosh, you know, it's the end of the world. So, anyway, I know about labels and their lasting effects. Before the break, I asked you to get a pen and a paper because I wanted to do an exercise with you. I want you to think of some labels that were given to you as a child. I want you to take a moment and write them down. Think back as far as you can and start to make a list, gradually working your way up to present day. Then I want you to think about and see those labels as just a word. Just a word. That's all they are, folks. They are simply just a word. They don't have, when you can come to that point and you can think of those labels as just a word, then you have the power to change that. when you get to the point of believing this to be so, then you are well on your way to changing those limiting beliefs. Along with that, I want to go ahead and I want you to go ahead and list 10 labels that apply to you. Aim for at least 5 solid labels to work with, at least. Now, I want you to, with each label, I want you to consider if that label was a positive or a negative. Okay, so I'm just going to just give you just a moment here. Beside each label, was it positive or negative? Then ask yourself, where did that label come from? Where did that label come from? Was it from something from society, such as TV, books, magazines? Or was it from people, such as your parents, peers, friends, teachers, siblings? Where did the label come from? Be as specific as you possibly can be. Even go so far as to name the person who gave you that label. I hope I'm not going too fast, folks. I don't know how many of you out there are following along and doing the exercise with me. So I don't want to take up a lot of time. I don't want there to be, you know, dead airspace, but think of 5 to 10 labels. Put out to the side whether they were a positive or negative label. Ask yourself where the label came from, and even put out to the side of that the person who actually gave you that label, if you can remember. Now ask yourself if you agree or you disagree with that label. You can just put an A or a D out beside that. You'll know what that means. How does each label either help, hinder, or limit you? How does each of those labels help, hinder, or limit you? And if you can just jot yourself some quick notes, you can always do this exercise after the show, too. Then think about that. What, if any, goals in your life? Is that label that was given to you, is it helping, hindering, or limiting the goals in your life? Is it getting in the way of you achieving something? After thinking about this and answering all these questions as honestly as you possibly can, then I want you to decide which labels that you would like to keep and which labels you'd like to get rid of. What labels would you keep and which labels do you want to get rid of? Finally, let's think about an action plan. Pick one label and think about a specific situation where this label came from. When and who are you with? Does something come to mind? Does more than one something come to mind? If so, what could you do now? What could you do now? How could you behave differently to make that label irrelevant in your life or inappropriate because of the person you are today? Which of these labels serve you no purpose? Which ones are setting you back in life? And choose right now to do this little exercise, be honest with yourself, and work toward getting rid of them. And with each and every one of the labels that you wrote down, go back and do each of these steps. that I suggested. Think about their origin, when and who you were with, and what you can do now to behave differently to make the label irrelevant to your current life, if the label isn't serving you any purpose. Some of these labels might be helping you. Remember, folks, a label is just a word. It's simply that. It's just a word. By doing this exercise I gave you, you are raising your awareness of self and exploring who you are today, in present time. I hope this exercise helps you in your new journey to health, blessings, joy, prosperity, hope, and a wholesome life. While we are on the subject of labels, though, I want to go ahead and talk about something else, too. I want to go ahead and take this one step further. And I want to talk about getting rid of that inner critic in you as well, because that little fella isn't doing you no good either. How many of you have an inner critic? I do. Anybody out there raising your hands? I believe that these two things, these two topics, can kind of go hand in hand in most cases. Your inner critic and being labeled by other people. But whether you call it your inner critic, your judge, that little gremlin, whatever you choose to call it, we all have one. We all have one. You know, that little voice that ignores all your achievements and it focuses instead on all those flaws and those mistakes that you make. Not only do we highlight them to ourselves, but we scream obscenities at ourselves, folks. How many of you are with me? How many of you find yourself highlighting your mistakes and your flaws and screaming obscenities at yourself? For real, folks, I do. You might say such things as, you know, in your head, a little voice in there, "Well, that was such a stupid thing to do. Jeez. Well, no one's going to promote me now. I am such a reject. What an idiot." And even much worse than that. Has any of you said that to yourself lately? I'm sure some of you can relate to what I just said. I've said these things to myself on many occasions. But does that really help anything? No. Does it really make you feel any better about yourself when you scream these things at yourself? Yes, I'm sure there is positive intention behind those mean things that we say to ourselves. But in my research, I found that positive intention is kind of like constructive criticism. It's supposed to be about making you a better person. It's supposed to be about protecting you from negative criticism and rejection. So sometimes you have to keep that in mind when your little inner critic wants to show its ugly head and it wants to bash you with negativity. Here are some techniques to help you get rid of that little inner critic in each of us. First of all, stop identifying with it. Stop identifying with it. What does that mean exactly? Your inner critic may be a part of you, but it does not have to be. That is a choice that we all decide. Each and every one of us. That's a personal decision. That inner critic makes us feel terrible because we listen to it and we agree with it. That inner critic makes us feel terrible because we give it the power. We let it control us. We listen to it and we agree with it instead of standing up for ourselves in spite of ourselves. even though our inner critic is part of us, we have to remember that we created that. And we also have the ability to remove it. That should make you feel empowered, folks. Not only did God make each and every single one of us unique, and He has a purpose and a plan for us, just as we create certain things within ourselves, we have the power to remove it. Can I hear an amen? So how do we stop identifying with that little gremlin? When you notice that little fella at work, simply try to put distance between yourself from him or her. I want to go ahead and give you a few little helpful hints here. Number one, and I know some of this may sound kind of funny, and I don't mean to take it lightly because it's not a light subject at all, but sometimes you got to lighten it up a little bit too, you know? You got to have that balance. So here's some suggestions from me to you about that little inner critic. Number one, chuck that little critic down the bottomless well. Quite literally. Pick him or her up from your mind and throw it overboard. And pretend to listen to its voice receding as it falls into the bottomless pit. If it makes its way back to you, chuck it down the well again, and again and again and again if need be. Deep breaths. And imagine. Deep breaths and imagine. Chucking it down the well, its voice receding. It's kind of actually a humorous little exercise. You could actually have some fun with that. But number two, you could put your inner critic in a soundproof room. Hey, let's just all go out and put him or her in a padded cell if you like. You can give it food and water. You don't want it to unduly suffer, after all. The whole point is just you don't want to hear it anymore. And if it escapes from that little padded cell, put that little sucker right back in there and repeat that little exercise as often as necessary. Can I say that word on air? If that offends, I'm sorry. Number three, a final option. This is probably a little harder as it involves you really being active with your own little inner voice. But for those of you who like a challenge, imagine this. Imagine your inner voice being a schoolyard taunt. Only now, you're the adult. Metaphorically speaking, stick your fingers in your ears and say, "I can't hear you." You can even just go so far and have some fun with it and say, "Na na 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 na, I still can't hear you." Maybe even metaphorically speaking, stick your tongue out at it. Imagine yourself singing this over and over again. Try skipping and smiling. I know, that probably sounds pretty childish and immature. But it could be a lot of fun. When your critic tells you to stop being so childish, retort right back to that. When you stop being mean to me, I'll stop being childish. Just retort right back to it. Don't even listen to it. The hard part of any of my message is taking charge of yourself, though, folks, seriously. In order to do this, you must find out who you really are. You will need to learn to value yourself and your own opinion. You will need to learn what is truly important to you and to stand up for yourself. No matter what anyone says, and no matter what your inner critic says. And this, folks, in all seriousness, takes time and practice. Old habits do die hard. If you have listened to my entire message and you can relate to any part of this message on a personal level, I believe you're already on that personal journey. Wanting change in your life, seeking ways to do that. If you are that person, then pat yourself on the back. Give yourself a hug. Smile at the new you in the making. And don't give up the battle. Remember, you didn't get to this place overnight, and you won't get out of this place that you're currently in overnight either. Be patient with yourself. It's okay. You will get there. Allow room for mistakes, but don't take those mistakes too seriously. It's a learning process. It's a journey. A road that probably isn't comfortable for you just yet, but in time, it will become comfortable and you will have that new life that you so desire right now. As you walk on your journey to wholeness, look back only long enough to check your progress and say to yourself, I am a work in progress. Repeat that over and over to yourself. I am a work in progress. I've come a long ways myself, but you know what I say to myself? Not only do I say to myself, I am a work in progress, I also say to myself, I've come a long ways. I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Amen? I want to go ahead and share a quick poem with you. I'm kind of running out of time, cutting into time for call-ins, so I'm going to make this quick. Here's a poem, Faith and Courage. In life, there are people that will hurt us and cause us pain, but we must learn to forgive and forget and not hold grudges. In life, there are mistakes that we will make, but we must learn from our wrongs and grow from them. In life, there are regrets that we will have to live with, but we must learn to leave the past behind and realize it is something that we can't change. In life, there are people we will lose forever and we can't have them back, but we must learn to let go and move on. In life, there's going to be obstacles that will cause interference, but we must learn to overcome these challenges and grow stronger. In life, there are fears that will hold us back from what we want, but we must learn to fight them with courage from within. God holds our life in His hands. He holds the key to our future. Only He knows our fate. He sees everything and knows everything. Everything in life really does happen for a reason, folks, and it's God's reason. I'm going to go ahead and play one tune, and then I'm going to open the call lines for everyone to call in and share an experience or some advice or whatever you'd like to share with me. So come right back after this tune and call in and speak with Shaziz and I.
I lose my way, and I forget my name. Remind me who I am. In the mirror, all I see is who I don't wanna be. Remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is. To you. lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you.
Welcome back, everyone. If you are just tuning in, today's message has been about living beyond your labels. If you have missed the rest of today's message, I would highly recommend and encourage that you go back and listen to my pod after it gets uploaded to my podcast page at www.shaziz.com. Invite your friends to listen with you or send them a link. Today's message has been for anyone out there who has been labeled in their lives, and the damaging effects that these labels can leave on your lives for many years to come. And so now it's time for everybody to call in and share with us what's on their mind, and we have our first caller today. Cultus, good day. How are you doing?
How are we? I'm well. How are you all?
We are awesome.
That's the way.
So, what would you like to share with us today?
Well, just pretty much, you know, think along the same lines as you were just talked about before the song there, you know, that, you know, we all go on these life paths, don't we? You know, and it doesn't sort of matter where you've come from; it matters where you're going.
Exactly.
You know?
My thoughts on the whole situation is society has a tendency to make a person feel like they have to fit in, and so they have to match up to these labels. And you know, I know from when I was a kid, you know, I was that little geek, that nerd in school, because I had a thirst for knowledge, and I was always had my nose in a book. And so, you know, I had to take it from the kids that, you know, they weren't necessarily into learning, because, you know, they maybe they had a problem or something, and that's the way they acted out, was they'd pick on the nerd, you know. And so with
yep.
that said, it took its toll back in the beginning, but after I got older and wiser and realized that, you know, one of the best memories I got was I was talking to an individual that I had went to school with years later, and he was amazed by all the things that I knew. And he said, how come you know so much? And I said, well, I paid attention in school, that's why.
Yep. You know. I'm very much in the same boat with you there. When I was at school, and don't do the whole shock and awe thing on me, because it's long since gone, but my name that I was teased with at school was AIDS, because everyone thought I was a disease. Mm-hmm. And that stemmed from, I didn't fit in. I was into electronics, I was into computer science, I was into all the things that back in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s was very new stuff, and to be involved, you know, and do those things daily was just odd, and as human society is brought up to do, they attack what they don't understand, you know, and that affected me for many, 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 many years.
Yeah.
You know, it did. I remember, like, you know, in my 20s, still crying about it. You know, as a grown man, I still cried about thinking of those things. And if I sat around and moped on it now, I would cry about it, because, you know, it hurt. It did. It really, really hurt. Kids did not understand how much damage they were doing. Like, I went through suicidal attempts. I went through many years of depression. You know, and I had to do a lot of that on my own, because once it was set in motion, even my own parents got to the point where they couldn't help me, because, you know, I just wanted to be left alone. I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to be a part of regular society. I went and lived out in the bush out of a rusted old combi van on a block of land that my parents owned, you know. So, yeah, you know, you do have to be very careful, and labeling people is a very, very fine-lined game, you know. Like, you can't be doing that, you know, like, as Beverly and I were discussing in the chat there, you know, like, her example was, Tom is stupid, Tom is this, you know, but I said, you know, what if, you know, it's like along the lines of, Tom is paranoid, but we love him and we want to help him, right. You know,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, that's, that in that instance is an acceptable labelling, because, you know, you do have to give something a name in order to be able to recognise it and help someone with it, but to turn around and just go, oh, Tom's paranoid, I've had enough of him.
One of the things that you also need to take in consideration that is, even after you mature into knowing that these are just, you know, idiots giving you a rash,
just words,
and they're just words, is that after all those years of abuse, you've become your own worst critic. And mm-hmm. even after you think that you pretty much got your life under control, you'll still find yourself criticizing yourself, and that will take away from your true potential, you know, if you don't get that nipped in the bud early, so to speak.
Yeah, you have to learn to love yourself.
Yes, as I said with the inner critic, you know, I mean, it's almost as if where the children or the parents or the peers or the siblings took off, now your inner critic takes over.
Exactly, yeah. It's not and you do, you beat yourself up over things that really, in the, you know, big scheme of life, probably don't matter as much as you think they do.
Exactly.
You know, a simple apology or, you know, changing something is all it really requires, rather than, you know, sitting there and twiddling your thumbs and hating yourself for it.
It really takes a lot of strength and courage and bravery to overcome the labels, and it also takes a very strong person, a strong-willed person, to see the labels as just what they are and to try to... as just words, and to try to move forward with their life and to get rid of those labels. It's tough.
Yeah. It's, and there's another thing that needs to be factored in when you get to that certain point in your life, is that you need to get to a point where essentially you're not constantly
double-minded with it.
No, you're not questioning yourself all the time.
You're content with yourself.
Yeah,
you
confident.
You do what you know is in your heart is right for your life, and never mind what the rest of the world thinks. You know, if you're wrong, you'll figure it out. If you're right, you know, vice versa. But you know, questioning your own beliefs and your own instincts because feel like you have to fit within some sort of boundaries, such as a label, that's counterproductive to, you know, you having an enjoyable life.
Well, eventually, as an adult, you know, I mean, a lot of people as adults have outgrown a lot of that, although some of them, you know, may still have that in the back of their mind, and it may affect them some, but then there's other people out there that it has destroyed their life. It affects them immensely. You know, it varies to what degree these labels still impact their lives. But you can't look back. You're not going that direction. You're moving forward. And I think at some point in time, you have to become comfortable and confident in the skin that God gave you.
Yeah, and you have to recognize the residual side effects of, you know, how you've actually been raised up, so that you'll know that, you know, you're doing yourself wrong and a disservice whenever you're, you know, did I say the wrong thing or did I do the wrong thing? And you can constantly question your deal, which will basically inhibit you from actually reaching your full potential of what you are capable of, you know, if you believe in yourself. And that's one of the reasons why here on Shaziz Radio and all these other networks has joined us. We're about empowering people to believe in themselves, because we know the true potential of the average human being. I mean, you know, there's nobody out there worthless in my mind.
That's dead right. Everyone has a different ability, or, you know, different way of thinking that is important to be shared with the rest of the world, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. The best stew in the world doesn't get put together without a whole bunch of different ingredients. You know, you bring to the table some potatoes, and I bring some salt, and, you know, Beverly brings some other vegetables or whatever. But, you know, by itself, it's just water. You know, together, it's a a life-giving meal for all of us, you know, and that's that's something that there's something to be taken away from that there.
And sorry, Biff.
Go ahead, honey.
One of the greatest sayings I've ever come across is if you constantly judge a fish's ability judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will always seem stupid.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
And that's just so true. You know, I mean, you look at the way the education system is set up with standardized testing. You know, how many kids go through school thinking they're stupid because they don't get the maths test or they don't get the English test, but give them a subject that they're good at and they absolutely flourish at it.
Mm-hmm. Or even stigmatized for what they're wearing, you know. Maybe I don't have the money for the Nike shoes or something like that, but that don't mean that I'm not as valuable as the next guy over there, you know.
Outer appearance is absolutely naught.
We as society got to figure out some method by which not to, you know, stigmatize. I'm not into, you know, everybody dressed the same or nothing, but if you actually look into some of those schools where the kids all wear the same uniform, you know, there is one little point there that, you know, nobody can be mocked for the tennis shoes that they're wearing, or, you know, they're all on the same level. But you got to get to the point where society puts you on that level where you can still be your individual, but yet not have to worry about, you know, being criticized for your looks or your whatever.
Well, I think oftentimes, you know, and I've thought about this a lot in my life as I have grown up and through the years, and I look back at and I think about, you know, some of the things that have been said to me through the years or some of the labels that I've worn or, you know, this or that. And when I truly and honestly take a look at that from a different aspect, you know, I can see where it's really their dysfunction, not mine.
Well, most of the time, people that are spending their times trying to put somebody down only wants to do that so they can raise the level of themselves. Now, here on this network, we don't believe in putting people down. If somebody comes on with an idea and we don't necessarily agree, you know, we'll tell them we don't agree, but we're not going to say, you know, you're just stupid because you're wrong, you know. Who knows? Yeah. We might be the ones wrong.
Exactly. Just because someone holds a different opinion to you doesn't make them any less worth than you.
Like, exactly.
In fact, they have just as much, you know. We all have a huge amount of worth for being able to be different, you know. Like, I'll come at it from this angle, you'll come at it from that angle, you know. And, you know, one very good example is, you know, Shaziz and I have sat around and discussed religion on many occasions where I've come from a completely different angle, but we have actually met in the middle.
That's right.
You know?
And like I say, on my religious beliefs, I don't force my beliefs on nobody because I'm a firm believer that if I live my life according to my beliefs and people from the outside, they're looking in and they see, hey, you know, something good about his life, and they ask me questions, I'll answer them if they choose to adopt it, you know. To me, that's a better way to teach people by living your life by example, you know. You
exactly.
Practice what you
exactly.
preach.
You've never once pushed anything on me in our conversations, yet I've decided on my own right to come around a little and change my own way of thinking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you know, you've done the same for me. There's other things that I've overlooked in my life that, you know, your culture had, you know, taught me a few things, so... You know, that's where we get back to that whole stew, you know. You bring all these people together with all these different spices and ingredients, and you get a wonderful stew. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you just got, you know, somebody over there's got a glass of water, and somebody over there's got some salted potatoes, and that's about it, you know.
Yeah, it's like the body, you know. I mean, somebody's a hair, and somebody's an eyeball, and somebody's an arm or a leg, and together, you know, we're a body, but individually we're just parts.
Yeah, so, you know, just think if society could actually get to that understanding that, you know, together there's things that we could accomplish that we couldn't even dream about doing by ourselves.
Exactly.
Yep.
And you
couldn't agree with you more.
You got to get past labeling each other, you know.
Yeah.
Our brothers of different colors around the world bleed the same color we do. They breathe the same air we do. They have the same hopes, dreams, and aspirations that we do. There's no difference in them outside of a physical look or something like that. And who knows, we may be looking through our eyes and seeing the wrong thing. We should be looking past the body to begin with and see the light that is within.
Exactly, Shaz, is exactly. That's what I was saying before. You know, outer appearance is not. Outer appearance means nothing. You know, it's who's on the inside and what they aspire to be and how they live their life. That's what makes a person.
That's right. If you focus on the outside, you're gonna miss something really great.
Well, there's that phrase, don't judge a book by its cover, you know. You look at somebody because they got a leather jacket on, they have a biker gang, they must be a criminal, you know. That might be the best-hearted soul you've ever met in your life. Would give the shirt off his back just to make sure that you were warm.
Yep.
Very true.
So, you know, there's some valuable lessons in, you know, Beverly's message today. You know, you can see where we come from it. We built a stew. Pretty cool, huh?
Yep. That's, you know, what shows like this are all about and the networks we host on. That's exactly what we're trying to do, isn't it? Come together as one and try to make a difference. So, and I think we're succeeding slowly.
And for those folks out there, we are succeeding. I'm seeing a whole lot of advancements. For those folks out there just listening in and stuff like that, if you believe in what it is that we're trying to accomplish, help us spread the message. I mean, you got Facebook, YouTube, and, you know, word of mouth. Tell your friends. Come over and say hi to us. If they got something on their mind or they got a problem and they need, you know, we the people to help them resolve, heck, that's what it's all about. The Knights of the Round Table is an awesome platform for that, and Beverly's Hope Show is another awesome platform for that. And, you know, in the alternative energy world, Mad Science, you know, it's just it's a place to come together with all these ideas, man.
And it doesn't matter if you're black, white, you know, it doesn't matter from where you come from in this world. When you come to our platforms, we come as equal.
If you weigh 300 pounds, it's just more for us to hug.
Exactly.
That's right.
You know, hey, there's a plus in every negative as far as I'm concerned.
Yep. You know, I was doing Beverly's deal there where she got us to write down everything. And, you know, I wrote down all the names I was called at school. And then I wrote down all the things you guys keep telling me I am. And my decision on what they actually do for me now is that the things I was called at school made me who I am.
Right.
And the things that I am told I am now reminds me who I am.
Exactly. That's very good.
So did I pass? Do I get an A?
You did. A plus. That's awesome.
You get one of them little smiley face stickers.
Oh, hang on. Well, I'm impatient. I can't wait. I draw a smiley face.
Aww.
There we go.
Yay. We're so proud of you.
Thank you. I'm proud of you guys, too. We've all come a long way recently.
We have. You know? We certainly have. Yeah.
And, you know, on the deal of us growing, you know, if you go back and listen to the podcast of our shows and hear of all the people that's coming on board for Virtual Labs, it's not just individuals. You had mentioned that companies are interested.
Yeah, we've already
in
got a company that's interested in having us vet their technology, so that's awesome.
So you can see that by us doing what we're doing, that people will eventually gravitate towards, you know, what they believe to be right and true. And as long as we stay right and true, then I don't see how we can go wrong.
That's exactly right.
And, you know, I do a lot of research for my shows. I mean, I spend up to, you know, 15 and 20 hours a week researching my show so that I can put on a good presentation for everyone out there listening. And, you know, my shows are just as much for me as all of you out there, because while I'm doing my research, I'm learning things, too. I'm growing, too.
And that's one of the things that everybody needs to keep in mind. You can always learn something, you know. No matter how smart you think you are, there's something out there that somebody can teach you. Looks like we're getting down to the wire there, brother. She's got to start wrapping this thing up, or we're going to roll over into somebody else's time.
I will probably roll over about 2 or 3 minutes, folks. I have a couple of songs here that are really important that I want to play. Cultus, thank you for joining us. We love you so much. We're glad you could make it on here with us, and always a pleasure to visit with you. Come back and join me here on the Hope Show again.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And thank you to everyone out there for listening today. Thank you, Shaziz, for joining me. And it's an honor to have all of you as a guest on my show and visit with everybody. Like I said again, Shaziz, thank you for joining me and being my co-pilot each week at the end of my show. God bless each and every one of you. I hope you found this message to be helpful and that it will be able to use it to benefit yourselves on your journey to wholeness and living beyond. And all those labels, come join me again next week. Same time, same place, next Saturday. I love every single one of you. God bless you.
And on this journey that we're on, it may be a rough road, but together we can accomplish anything.
Amen.
There's a girl in the corner with tear stains on her eyes. From the places she's wandered and the shame she can't hide, she says, how did I get here? I'm not who I once was, and I'm crippled by the fear that I've fallen too far to love. But don't you know who you are, what has been done for you? Don't you know who you are? You are more than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. Well, she tries to believe it, that she's been given new life. Oh, but she can't shake the feeling, well, that it's not true tonight. She knows all the answers, and she's rehearsed all the lines. And so she'll try to do better, but then she's too weak to try. Oh, but don't you know who you are? You are more than the choice that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. You are more than the choice that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. You are more than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. You've been remade. Thank you.
Jesus.